Greetings, brethren. Welcome to Day 3 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2014. God has a marvelous plan, a great plan for mankind, and one of the greatest fulfillments is what he's going to do during the millennium. And we have a direct part in that because we will be the sons and daughters of God, administering the government and kingdom of God under Jesus Christ for the whole world. And think what that is going to be like. Now, one of the very first things we're going to do is we're going to teach all the people, why were you born? What has God made us for? Now, let's come to Psalm 8. Because David asked some questions here, which are the questions that have gone down through the centuries of men cut off from God, and they have never understood the plan of God. Even those who have the Bible, they can't read it and understand it because their minds are closed, because they do not obey God, and they do not love God. See, here's a real key in understanding. You cannot understand God unless you obey him. You cannot understand the depths of what he's doing unless you repent and are baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, and yield your whole life to him. Then God gives understanding. Now, so in Psalm 8, this is really quite a psalm because it goes clear back to Genesis 1, when God renewed the surface of the earth, made the oceans, the dry land, all the vegetation, all of the animals, all of the birds, all of the fish, and then he made man after his image, after his likeness, after his kind. Doesn't say after his kind in Genesis 1. However, that's the rest of the story for the whole Bible. All right? And we know, as we've already covered, God made man with his own hands. And that carries right on down to how we are made by the hand of God in our mother's wombs. Let's come to Psalm, the 8th chapter, please. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your adversaries to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, now at that time, right there in Jerusalem, King David could go out on the top of his roof. No smog, no chemtrails, and he could look at the heavens. And he could see them. And the heavens looked a whole lot closer there than they do here. And now today, we can see the majesty of the heavens of God through the marvelous telescopes that we have circling in space, which reach out into the vastness of the universe to bring us glorious pictures of God's fantastic creation. That is awesome indeed. Now then, notice how David was musing here. He said, when I consider your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man, that you are mindful of him, or the son of man, that you care for him? Yes, God loves us. God cares for us. But he's also given us choice so that we are to choose his way. And when we do, and when we do so with all our hearts and mind and soul and being, then God grants us knowledge and wisdom and understanding and, yea, salvation in the highest. And remember this. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 5 that we cast all of our cares upon God, because he cares for us. And remember, Jesus said, the Father himself loves you, loves all of us. He loves his creation. But since he's given choice, then it's going to have to go through the judgment that God has said. But we are going to redeem it from that judgment with Jesus Christ when he returns. Now notice something here. Verse 5, here's a key verse. For you have made him a little lower than God. Now the Greek there is Elohim. And Elohim is the name for God. A little lower than God. Not the angels, as it is in Hebrews, the second chapter. We'll go there a little later, because that was translated from the Septuagint. And the Hebrew for angel is Melech. All right. You have made him a little lower than God. That is the first inkling, great to understand, that God has a special purpose for all of mankind and a special purpose for each one of us. See, God's plan is so great that we just get a little glimpse of it. Made us a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor. That's compared to all the rest of the creation on the earth. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Yes, he gave the whole world to mankind. And you have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, and all that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the world. Yes. In all the earth. All right. Now let's come here to Psalm 144. Psalm 144. This is quite a psalm. Okay? Psalm 144. There we go. Verse 1. Blessed is the Lord my rock. Now remember what Jesus said. Everything we do with our Christian life and character, we are to build on the rock of Christ, and he is the foundation. And no one can lay any other foundation than the foundation of Jesus Christ, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving kindness. Now look, how it needs to be with our lives. This, we need to really yield to God, see? And we're going to teach this to all the people in the millennium. And they won't have all the troubles and difficulties that we have today. Now, that may sound like that's a good and wonderful thing, which it is. However, as we'll see a little later, it has its own special difficulties. All right? My high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you think of him? Now remember, Jesus said that when a sparrow falls, the Father knows it. If that happens to a sparrow, think about us as human beings, made in his image, for his great purpose. Verse 4, man is like a breath. Or as James wrote, it's like a mist. When the sun comes up, it's gone. Okay? His days are like a shadow that passes away. And yet God loves us. Yet God wants us. Yet God has showed us his way. Okay. Come over here to Psalm 146. A little bit more about man. And remember this. God gives you every breath to breathe. And he's the one who starts you breathing the instant that you are born. And you breathe until you breathe out your last, however old or however long that will be. Psalm 146 and verse 1. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. So you see the depths of conversion that God wants us to have. That's why his way is a way of life. It's not a religion, though the world looks at it as a religion. But it's a way of life. And that ends up in eternal life. And ends up with strength and power and glory to shine like the sun. To be able to assist Christ in the greatest work of salvation until the last great day. All right, let's go on here. Verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes. That's why all of our problems are spiritual. They're not physical. They're physical results because we're breaking laws. However, you cannot really solve the problems politically or physically. They are all spiritual. Okay? That's why you don't put trust in princes. Especially look at the ones we have in America, all these lying wonders. Nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no salvation. And how many people commit their lives to a man and have been deceived and go right down the drink. Think of how many people have done that down through history. Amazing, amazing. There is no salvation. His breath goes forth. He returns to the earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish because there is no brain in which to house the spirit of man. And the spirit goes back to God because God controls everything, though maybe even to the atheist it looks like there is no God. However, we will let him go on in his foolishness and his dreams. Verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose help is in the Lord his God, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Now, God has his plan, he has his way, he has his truth, and it is going to be carried out. Now let's go across the page here to Psalm 145. Notice how all of these fit in with the Feast of Tabernacles, the millennial theme, and bringing the truth of God to all of mankind. Verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And that's what we're going to do every generation through the millennium. And you can know, and you can understand, things are going to be totally different. And you talk about having lots of children, having lots of joy, the blessings of God with everything for all mankind. What a thing that is going to be, brethren. And you know, it's just like the world. The world would never, 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 never guess that God has chosen us to assist Christ to save the world. No, out of the mouths and babes and sucklings you've ordained strength, right? Yes. Verse 5, I will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty and of your wondrous works, and that will be available and visible. And men shall speak of the might of your awesome works, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the memory of your great goodness and shall sing your righteousness. The Lord, and here is the righteousness, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. And they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. That's what we're going to do. You talk about a full educational system based on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the purpose of God, see. All of this is going to be great. We're going to see there's going to be a little difficulty to come along. And in a way, in some ways because of all of this, it may be a little harder for them, though they have everything handy and given to them. All right? We'll see that in a little bit. Notice verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations into the ages of eternity. Now, can you think of anything greater or more fantastic than this? Men give themselves over to causes, political movements, inventions, building, whatever. And God has granted to us eternal life and all the glory of the kingdom. Think of that. Remember what Jesus said when he was praying to the Father, that he came to reveal the Father, not to the wise and intelligent, but to us. And he said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Now think on that, and that's why we're here. So we can see the greatness and glory of God. We can see the greatness and fantastic purpose of his plan. And we can see what a wonderful blessing it is that God has called us and we answered the call. Now, let's continue on here and see a couple of other things. Let's come over here to Psalm 139. Isn't it amazing how much is buried in the Psalms? And isn't it amazing how many things that there are multiple layers of understanding? Now, think about this in relationship to every human being and the special work that God has given to each one. And then we can put as a sidebar over here, this helps us to understand why there will be a second resurrection. Because God is not going to waste all the glorious work that he has done with all human beings, though they have ended up being sinners and dying. God is going to give them an opportunity which he did not give them in this present time. Now notice how intimately connected God is with those who are his. Also people in the world, even though they reject him, he's not forgotten them. Their day is going to come. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. That's why we have the Spirit of God in us, you see. That's why we have the grace and connection with God the Father, see. God knows us. He's working with us, developing us, as we covered yesterday. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You measure my going about and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. Now hold your place here and we'll come back. Come here to 1 Corinthians 4. Now, I've had this in mind for quite a while. And so what this is for us to know and understand that we may be able to put on a good front and fool people, but no one is going to fool God. Now, right here in the middle of verse 6, it says, that in us, he's speaking to the Corinthians there, you may learn not to think of men beyond what is written, so that no one among you is puffed up on behalf of one of us against the other. Now come up here to verse 5. This is what I wanted here. We're not to do that either. We're not to puff up men. We're not to follow men. We're to follow God. Everyone who is an elder or teacher is to teach, and so that we all come to the fullness and the measure and the stature of Christ through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. All right, now verse 5, speaking of the heart. Verse 5, therefore do not judge anything before the time. Wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the motives of all hearts. So when it says back here in Psalm 139 that there isn't even a word in our mouth that God does not understand. Now it's very interesting, the Greek there for the motives means the counsels of the heart. Now that's your talk to one another, yourself. Because as our mind is working, we are talking to ourselves. And remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, the whole purpose is to be pure of heart and mind through the power and Spirit of God, through the Word of God, to do the things of God the way that God wants them done. Now, what we're reading here in Psalm 139 are the very things we're going to teach people during the millennium. Notice he says, verse 5, you have enclosed me behind and in front and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me shall be night, even the darkness does not hide from you. But the night shines as the day. As is the darkness, so is the light to you. Now notice the intimate relationship that God has with us. This is quite a statement. Verse 13. You have possessed my reins, and you have knit me together in my mother's womb. Now the reins is what God uses us to search our heart and our mind. To know us, to test us, to try us. Okay? Verse 14, I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. All of these things, these are going to be the basis of the very things that we teach the people during the millennium. Why they're here, what their life is about. All about God, what his plan is, what his ultimate goal is, what they will be. All, just an amazing thing. Verse 15, my substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately formed in the lowest parts of the earth. That is a simile for his mother's womb. Your eyes did see my substance yet being unformed. So this shows that the instant that a person is conceived in the mother's womb, there you are. That is you. And what is left is growth. Okay? And in your book, all my members were written. Today we call that the genetic code or the human genome. And though they think they have mapped out the human genome, there's still an awful lot they don't know. But what they're going to do with what they have is going to be something, as we will see later on as we go down the road. All right? We're written, which in continuance were fashioned. Once conception, then cells start splitting. There's 2, then 4, then 8. Then 16, then 32, and on and on and on and on until the full new life has been formed. All of that is God doing it through what he put into the genetics of mother and father so that you can be created? All right, let's go forward here. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Think about that. And think about what God is going to give us at the resurrection. Oh, if I should count them, they are more than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Surely you will slay the wicked, O God, therefore you bloody men depart from me. And then God is going to work with us and bring us to the things that are right and good and true. Now, let's see a part. Let's come here to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. And let's see something very important concerning God. Now, as great as all of this is that we have covered up to this point, know and understand that all human life is temporary. And God is so great, he gives us a tremendous thing here in Isaiah 40 to understand the greatness of his might and his power. Okay, now then, let's pick it up here in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or meted out the heavens with a span? And who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? And who was his counselor that he might instruct him? With whom did he take counsel? Who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment? Taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him. Now here's a comparison. What can man do to add to God? As I've said many times, can man come along and improve on God, who is perfect? No, he cannot. Verse 15, here's how God looks at everything. In spite of its great, fantastic potential, unless it completes what God wants it to do, it is nothing. Verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. Now you see, we're going to learn one of the hardest things that's going to be for all of those coming through the millennium, to understand the vanity and futility of human beings without God. Now, why will that be so hard to understand? Because all the sons of God will be their teaching. God will be common knowledge. Everything will be blessed. Everything will be laid out. So that's going to be hard for them to take. It's going to be a difficult thing for them to comprehend. Just like, think of this. All the young children growing up now never lived in a time when there wasn't electricity. They take it for granted. It's there. Well, likewise, it will be with the people during the millennium. They will be in the kingdom of God. We will be teaching them. All the knowledge of God will be there. And the hardest thing for them to learn is, even though they're made in the image and likeness of God, without his Spirit, we are all nothing. Now, after showing the futility of idolatry, and showing that all these graven images and the religions of men are nothing, then he says, verse 25, to whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? And one of the most humbling things is, and bringing to realization of how great God is the heavens that he created. So notice what he says here. Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? Who brings out their hosts by number? Who calls them all by names by the greatness of his might? For he is strong in power, and not one fails. Why do you say, O Jacob, and O Israel, you speak, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God? That's why human beings think. That's what they're doing today. Well, that's soon going to change. So God answers back. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak nor weary? And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives power to the weary, and to him with no might he increases strength. So God is there. All right. Now, let's see what else is going to be difficult for them. Okay, let's come here to Psalm 39. Now, this is even hard for people today to understand, Psalm 39. They don't think so, but this is what we need to learn, and that's what they will learn too. Now, I am sure that there will be enough sinners from time to time during the course of the millennium that these things will be well known, because God has given choice, and even in all of these things, God is not going to take away choice. Let's come here to Psalm 39, all right? Every individual is still going to have to change and grow and overcome and be converted and remember the thoughts of the mind. Yes, it's going to be quite a thing. And the more you know about God, the more that you understand how virtually just nothing that we are. But with God, fantastic and great potential. So that's why we have to be faithful to the end, to endure, so we'll be in the resurrection. Now notice, Psalm 39. Now remember, Psalm 139, now Psalm 39, verse 1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, and that's what we need to do. We need to use the cranium up here, the Spirit of God, and our motives and counsels of the heart to do the things that are right, see. I will take heed to my ways so that I do not sin with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked are before me. I became dumb, keeping silent. I said nothing good, yet my sorrow grew worse. Yes, if you are around the wicked, yes, it really gets to you, doesn't it? My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned, then I spoke with my tongue, looking at everything that there is. And you know, the longer you live, the more we're to understand this. Verse 4. O Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how short-lived I am. See, we have a beginning and we have an end physically. God has no beginning or ending. He's the first, he's the last. He's the creator. He lives on the level of eternity. And that's where he wants us to come, all right? But notice, when you compare God and you compare eternity, verse 5, behold, you have made my days as a hand's breadth, and the span of my days is nothing before you. Surely every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah, which means think and meditate on this. Think of all of the vain, stupid things that we do. That's why we need repentance every day. and all of the things that come out as mistakes because we let vanity get the best of us. Well, we need to really understand verse 5. All right? Now, let's apply this to those during the millennium. They likewise are going to have to learn this lesson. And because everything will be there, God will be there. It's going to be fantastic and beautiful and wonderful and everything. Isn't it going to be very difficult for them to understand the futility of human life without God? Yes. Verse 6, surely every man walks about in a vain show. Surely they are all in an uproar in vain. That reminds me of all the entertainment industry. That reminds me of all the politicians. Yes, indeed. And especially the one who rules in the White House today. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes. All of those who are the senators, all of those who are the governors, all of the leaders of the world. That's why God says that all nation stem are just a drop in the bucket. See, because we all came from a speck anyway to begin with. So what do we get all excited about how great we are? Listen, we need God's way, okay? Surely there are an uproar in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Because, see, there's still going to be salvation necessary. All the human beings are still going to have the law of sin and death within them. So they're going to have the pulls of the flesh. Maybe not to the degree that there is today with Satan the devil loose. When he's bound during the millennium, he won't be around. But they're still going to have to learn this. Okay. Verse 7. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not the reproach of the fool. And so this is what it's going to have to be. And we'll look at a little bit more of this. We'll take a little break now. Then we'll come back and we'll continue on with what is man that you are mindful of him and how great it is in the creation of God, and yet what we really are in the flesh is nothing, and what God wants us to become is exactly like him.